Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
I'm Mike Lupica, MLB.com and the New York Daily News.
I am Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press, and this is the Sports Reporters Podcast. One of our favorite weekends of the year are the conference championships leading to the Super Bowl. We got it coming up this weekend. We'll talk a little bit after this part about Phillip Rivers and some basketball, but let's start with the two big games on Sunday, and the one that's certainly got the star power is Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers facing off in Lambeau Field. Finally, Aaron Rodgers gets his home game to go to a Super Bowl and seems pretty confident, pretty zen. But Tom Brady is saying, you know, we're not a bad road team. We were just saying before the show started, if Tom Brady somehow wins this game or leads Tampa Bay to a win and they go to the Super Bowl, what does that do to his already greatest of all time legend that he goes to a new team that hadn't been in the playoffs for God knows how long and takes them all the way to the Super Bowl? Well, I don't even know how to measure that.
What it does, actually, and to use a very popular football reference with regard to pass receiving, it gives him separation. It gives him a little bit more separation from whoever else you want to put up against him, namely the guy who he grew up idolizing, Joe Montana, and other contemporaries such as Peyton Manning, his longtime rival, and the guy that if he beats him, he will have beaten Aaron Rodgers. So it just gives him a little more separation, that's all.
I think he is doomed for the curse of the legendary quarterback with another team. Okay, now I know Peyton made it back with the Broncos, but that was a far diminished Peyton Manning. There are two guys that I'm thinking about. One's a former Packer named Brett Favre, who came as close as you can come with the Vikings and ended up throwing a big pick and losing to the Saints. And in the Wayback Machine, Joe Montana, Bob, who had a wonderful year with the Chiefs and made it to a championship game in Buffalo, got concussed, and that was the end of his career there sitting on the bench. And I'm not saying Brady's going to get hurt. I'm just saying that this story, I've seen this movie before, and as great as Brady has been, I know he's a good road team. This is Lambeau Field in January, okay? And I think he's going up against what is right now, this minute, the best team in the sport, and I just don't think he's going to do it.
Don't dismiss that, I mean, as much as the Manning thing for the following reason. No, Manning wasn't very, wasn't particularly instrumental in that victory, and he was at the end. Brady's reputation, which so much rests on the six Super Bowls, and then the fact is that some of those games, he was quite ordinary. They didn't win because of Tom Brady. Most recently, the last time we saw him, 13-3, he was hardly a stellar performer. So he gets credit. He gets the W because we've chosen to do this. So this wasn't being talked about 30 years ago, quarterback victories.
And Bob, when one was staring him in the face against the Eagles, he did, as great as he was that day, he did lose it because he gave the ball away when everybody in this planet thought he was going to take him down the field and win the game.
I know, but then, you know, we can go on and on. The two Giant losses, he handed over wins to his defense and they couldn't stop the Giants from scoring. Right. So, you know, so that goes both ways. All I'm saying is, a Super Bowl win is a feather in your cap that no one should take away, nor should they overrate your importance in that victory. You got to look at them closely. So anyway, yeah, I don't want to diminish what Manning was able to do, but that's all.
Well, simple as that. If the Green Bay Packers devote themselves to stopping Tom Brady, they will rough him up. I mean, that's the only way you do it. It's historically been proven. He's played long enough. There are no secrets. There are no defenses he can't read. The way that you stop Tom Brady is you make him uncomfortable. He's not going to run away from you. And if you get in his face and you rough him up, you can get a bad game out of him. The way that the, ironically, Tampa Bay defense did to Drew Brees. And, you know, you could argue that the defenses are going to determine this because we already know what the offenses can do. Both offenses are loaded. When left alone, when playing against average defenses, Green Bay's got three Pro Bowlers. I've talked about this a lot at every key position, running back, quarterback, and wide receiver. And they got plenty behind them. And Tampa Bay isn't quite as stellar. Obviously, they got the quarterback, but they've got some pretty good guys to throw to, and some half decent guys to run the ball. They're a pretty solid offense. So it's going to be determined by which defense can disrupt the other guy's offense. And there's not a lot of teams who have managed to do it to the Green Bay Packers. One team that did it to the Green Bay Packers was the Tampa Bay Bucs on October 18th, 38-10. Now, how much credence do we pay to that game at all? It was the worst game of the year for Aaron Rodgers. They got out to a quick start, the Packers. They were up 10-0. So the 10 points that they scored in that game were all that they had the lead 10-0 and then gave up 38 points.
The game turned on that early pick. I swear to God it did. He threw that early pick and looked like they were about to do to the Bucs what they'd done to everybody else. And, Mitch, it wasn't just his worst game of the year. It was his worst loss in years, okay? And I think, if anything, I actually think that may help the Packers on Sunday. And just remember one thing about Rodgers, okay? And think about what happened to Breeze. Breeze threw three picks last week. What has Rodgers thrown? Four all season. If you're waiting for him to throw a bunch of interceptions on Sunday, it's simply not, you know, again, I always say this, you can laugh at me on Monday. They're not going to do to him what they did to Drew Brees last Sunday. They're just not.
No, but they did sack him five times in that game. You're not going to throw away. Aaron Rodgers is too smart to throw stupid passes. And he's got good enough receivers that if he throws an errant pass, they can adjust or they can knock the ball down. But if you can contain him and or sack him, how many times does Aaron Rodgers get sacked five times in a game? You're going to have a big impact. And if your team – see, they did that with the Packers jumping out to a lead. I think the only way that Tampa wins this game is if they jump out to a lead. There's also special teams, and maybe there's something crazy happens. Somebody returns a punt or a kick or something like that. But if they get out ahead, 14-3 or something like that, and can play from ahead, I think that they have a better chance because then they can use all their weapons. If Green Bay comes out on fire, they're at home, they're Lambeau, it's snowing, and they're up 14-0, and now Brady has to start throwing the ball all the time and inclement weather, I think the die is cast. So they're going to have to do something quick, get on top of them, make the Packers play catch up.
Hey, Ryan, if
yes, sir.
Bucks win the toss on Sunday, I'm not sure I'd defer. I don't think that I would want to tell Aaron to go ahead and have the first drive of the game. Because if he does, it's going to be 7-0, and then it's going to be what Mitch said. Well, and then all of a sudden, you got to do something on your first drive. I would take the ball if I were Touchdown Tom on Sunday.
You know, we can analyze, and we, you know, all the experts can analyze, and so often, and you've kind of hinted at it, so often, all the analysis goes out the window because of one play or one freak play or a strip sack you weren't thinking about, a tipped interception kind of thing, something. You mentioned the punt return. I think more often than not, these games hinge on things like that, and all our exhaustive analysis about, oh, they got to get out to a lead, you got to do this, you got to do that, you know, and it comes around to something that you didn't factor in necessarily,
Darius,
that you couldn't have planned for.
I think we're going to hear the name Za'Darius Smith a lot on Sunday. He's a great player. He has transformed the Green Bay Packers defense. I think he's going to be up close and personal. If I had to pick one defensive player, it's not a defensive back because, again, I don't believe Rodgers is going to throw picks on. He may throw one, but I don't think he's going to lose this game on interceptions. We have seen this for 20 years. Tom Brady does not like to get knocked down. He does not like to have to move in the pocket. He does not. The Giants won that first Super Bowl, not because Eli took him down the field, as great as that was, because that front four from the first offensive play of the game that night in Glendale, Arizona, they didn't get a sack, but OCU Manure put him down, and it set the tone for that game.
The very thing that Tom Brady does not like to do is exactly what Aaron Rodgers thrives on. He does not like to get pushed out of the pocket. he's not much of a thrower on the run. Aaron Rodgers waits for you to chase him from the pocket and then says, now I got you. And that's the big difference.
Mitch, I kidded for several years that the most terrifying sight in New England sport was Tom Brady on the move. And he actually got to a point in his last 2 years with the Patriots where he actually got better at it, which was amazing. But by the way, he had an abbreviated press conference yesterday of 5 minutes, and the message that he left the world with was, we are playing our best football right now. Gentlemen, and basically,
well, I believe that that's true. You don't get to the NFC Championship game if you're not playing your best football right now. But so are the Packers.
Yeah, right. And so the Packers.
Packers' best football is better than the Tampa Bay Bucks' best football.
Okay, and I think that's why that game to me is irrelevant. Way back when, they're both playing better now. They're both whatever happened that day happened. But I don't think it's you don't use that as a basis
sports.
For anything.
Yeah, Bobby, we've seen this in all sports for 100 years. Remember the year that the Mets had beaten the Dodgers 10 out of 11 games in the regular season, Dodgers beat them in the playoff. I mean that again. If anything, I think it's impossible for me to believe that Aaron Rodgers with Tom Brady on the other sideline is going to have that kind of game again. I believe he's got a better chance of getting hit by lightning at Lambeau on Sunday.
No, I guess you could make a case for both teams based on the last game that they played that they're bringing something special in. You can start with Green Bay and say, they took on, I think they were the top-rated defense in the NFL in the Rams. And Aaron Donald, certainly he was hurt, but I mean they just rendered them insignificant. They had nearly 500 total yards against the best defense. The Bucs defense is not the Rams defense. And so if they were able to put 32 points up on the Rams, it makes you wonder there. Now, flip it over. Tampa Bay goes in against New Orleans, down in New Orleans. New Orleans has got a ton of weapons. You got Kamara and you got Thomas and you got Breeze and you got all the backups and all the rest. And they held them to 20 points and they picked Breeze three times and they did way better than anybody thought. And Brady really, he was good. He wasn't fantastic, but he was good. He got them the touchdowns when they needed the touchdowns.
Like 200.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot. It wasn't a lot. It was a defensive win. But they did what they needed to do, and their defense stopped a very, very powerful offense. So you can make the case, depending on where you're standing, okay, they bring that defense in. That defense is going to do well against this powerful offense. You bring the Packers example of the Rams, and they're going to say, well, it doesn't matter what defense you throw at us. We're going to be able to score, 30-plus points. There seems to be something to the comfort level that Aaron Rodgers is playing at. I don't like to put too much onto this kind of stuff because you can get lost in the weeds of it. But, and I'm not talking about press conferences. I'm not talking about him saying, finally we've got a game at home. I'm talking about him on the field.
Yep.
He just does not look like there's anything he hasn't seen, anything he can't solve. And it's almost as long as my guys are catching the ball and they're not dropping it, I'm going to find a way to win this game. I don't see that with Brady. I still see moments of him getting used to where he is. There are still receivers who don't run the right patterns, and he gets frustrated. He had that a couple moments in that last game where you saw him cursing at the do this, do that. Don't you guys know? He seems still a little ahead of that team. Whereas Rodgers is right alongside with all of his weapons. Does that a
Mitch,
fair analysis?
Yes. And Mitch, let me just read a description of what the game that Rodgers played against, as you pointed out, the best defense in the sport. Okay. Rodgers made the strong defensive Rams defense look ordinary in the wing, completing 5 passes for more than 20 yards. He regularly extended plays when pressure got through the line, including a 33-yard completion to Robert Tonyan just before halftime. He also delivered a perfect game-clinching strike to Alan Lazard over the middle of the field in the fourth quarter for a 58-yard touchdown. Now, you tell me if you think on Sunday, Robert, that we're going to read the Brady extended plays and completed 5 passes of 20 yards or more.
Well, I'll say this. He won't be extending plays in this sense that we're talking about here. But the fact is that he has this year thrown deep more than ever in his history. And we didn't think he could even do it here. Well, he's gotten more 20-yard plus passes received, you know, receptions this year than ever, and he's thrown more. He's definitely playing the game differently, and I'm attributing this to the weaponry that he thinks he can throw, that he has people that can extend, get down the field, go vertical, and the reason and all the speculation about why he left Boston and him and Belichick and this and that, I think the number one reason was he didn't think that he had enough talent around him in New England, and he looked at that roster and said, yeah, there's Goodwin, there's Evans, and of course he brought in his guy Brown, and so that's a but he won't be doing it by running around and extending the clock, but he will take shots.
Bob,
believe me,
don't
more
you
than
think
he has.
This is probably the best weaponry he has had since they were 18-0.
Oh, without a doubt, Mike.
Right?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. There have been times where he has dragged his offense into championship games. That is not the case. Aaron Jones is not to be, we haven't mentioned his name up till now, and he is not to be trifled or overlooked. Aaron Jones can keep a game going and convert third downs and pick up big yards.
And they got
yards
guys and Devontae, behind
him,
too, Mitch.
They got a three-headed monster right now.
That's right. They got plenty of guys to carry the ball, and they got Devontae Adams, who can catch anything you throw at him.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers has never had a lineup like this. I'm telling you, they've got five Pro Bowlers there, you know, and the only black mark is that David Bakhtiari is not there. Otherwise, this is literally an all-star
team. They blocked against the Rams. They blocked and ran the ball. So before we get to the other game, do any of us think, I mean, I'm not saying that we're ruling out the greatest quarterback of all time, but I just don't see the Bucs winning this game.
No, I mean, I had to pick a game. I had to pick. I'm not going to be shocked if the Bucs win that game. Of course not. But no, I'd have to. I think the logical pick is Green Bay. Yes.
I will allow the word shocked. I'm picking Green Bay to win by about 10, but I will allow the word shocked not because of that Sunday, but because of the season. If you can go to a team like Tampa. And with a coach like Bruce Arians, who's not some shoo-in. You're not going to Belichick's squad. He's had certainly his ups and downs over the course of a long career. And you can transform that culture and bring in talent and get a team that is, believe me, living in Detroit, I see what it's like to just battle the mentality of we're a losing franchise. Okay, that's what Tampa Bay was. They had that mentality. And that overcoming that in and of itself is shocking. And if he would go there and take them to a Super Bowl, I would consider it a shock. Not because they can necessarily win. Anything can happen on any Sunday. They've already beaten the Green Bay Packers once this year, even though we're discounting it. But the shock of the totality of what he would have accomplished would indeed be shocking. I am picking Green Bay.
All right,
to win the
first
game.
A word from Geico.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
And now we go to a fascinating second game. It's interesting. I guess it must have something to do with the TV contracts that the Bills and the Chiefs is the second game on Sunday. And he hasn't gone through all the protocols yet. We're assuming that Patrick Mahomes is going to play football on Sunday for the Kansas City Chiefs. And guys, I don't know how I feel about this game, because the more I see of the Buffalo Bills, the more I like the Buffalo Bills.
Well, the last time they lost a game was a long time ago. And they came out of a bye week and they won, and they haven't stopped winning. They won 8 in a row. And there's a lot to like about them. And it all starts to me with Allen, the development of Josh Allen in year three. And the fact is that he's capable of playing as well as anyone on any given Sunday right now. And he does it in a great modern way with his legs as well as his arm. They have a real serious chance if he can play the kind of game he's been playing.
Well, first of all, the Mahomes thing cannot be underplayed. We don't know. And this is not going to be up to the Kansas City Chiefs. This is they as much as any league can do it, they separate themselves from the inside. And they've got outside evaluators, outside doctors, and you've got to go through a pretty tough protocol in order to get back. For argument's sake and for purposes of our discussion, let's talk about it as if he's going to play. And then we can talk about it as if he's not going to play. If he's going to play, they have so many, I know everything we're saying about Buffalo, but they have so many weapons, so many different ways that they can get at you. And remember, these two teams did play earlier this year, and the Chiefs beat them. And it was interesting the way the Chiefs beat Buffalo, because they didn't do it with Patrick Mahomes, they didn't do it with Travis Kelce, and they didn't do it with Tyreek Hill. Those guys were basically shut down. They Kelce had 5 catches for 65 yards. Mahomes was, ordinary, but their running backs went nuts, and they had like 250 yards rushing, and that's how they beat them. This is the problem with Kansas City. They can get you from a ton of different ways, and they can adjust to what you're doing. Now, having said that, even with Patrick Mahomes, and even against the Cleveland Browns, and I said this going into the Browns game, they don't beat up people. They don't run away from anybody. You are always in the game with these guys. You go to the fourth quarter still alive with Kansas City. As good as Kansas City is and as great as Patrick Mahomes is, no team has been out of it in the fourth quarter for the last like 10 games against them. So if Buffalo stays close and it turns into one of those, they got a possession to do it and they got nothing to lose, they're playing a little bit with house money here. I don't think anybody expected Buffalo to be this good or to beat Kansas City. They're going to have a chance. I don't see Kansas City running away from them, even though they've got a lot of different ways that they can attack them.
Mitch, I'm going to do something that you did, I think, in our last podcast, okay? The Chiefs beat up on the Jets on the 1st of November, okay? And I'm just going to give you the scores since then. 33-31 over the Panthers. 35-31 over the Raiders. 27-24 over Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. 22-16 over the Broncos. 33-27 over the Dolphins. 32-29 over the Saints. 17-14 over the Falcons. They sit down Mahomes. They lose to the Chargers. 38-21. And 22-17 with, mitigating factors last week. I'm not going to end up the margin of victory, but it ain't a hell of a lot.
No. They managed to keep you in the game, which is crazy because they got enough talent to score 50 points every game. But it is not the way that they've been playing. And so Buffalo has to say, let's go toe-to-toe. All right, let's try to score every time they score, take it to the fourth quarter. And if we're down by 4, we're still in it. And they've got every historical reason to point to that. They can point to teams, like you pointed out, the Miami's and the Panthers. And these aren't great teams. And they hung with them. Yep. So there's no reason that Buffalo can't hang with them. And it would not – this would be the smallest surprise of the weekend to me, even though Mahomes is a reigning MVP and Kansas City had the best record. Buffalo winning would be the smallest shock of the in a quote unquote unlikely scenarios this weekend.
It's going to be so interesting to see, because the fun we have and the mistake we make covering sports is if the burden of history has anything to do with modern players. So the Bills of the 90s have nothing to do.
No.
Right? They have nothing to do. But it's always part of the heartbreak of the month of January and February is part of the, I don't know if they were playing the Super Bowl in February. The heartbreak of the month of January is always a part of the narrative with the Bills and the Bills Mafia. And there's nothing not to love about the football fans of upstate New York. I mean, I grew up in upstate New York, a couple of hours from Buffalo. But this team has suddenly, under Sean McDermott, who we just don't talk enough about, has done a superb job crafting a team on both sides of the ball. Guys, I'm telling you, and again, you know me, I'm the last guy to ever know what point spreads are, okay? To me, even in Kansas City, this looks like a pick'em game. It does.
Oh, I would totally agree to that. I'm definitely high on Buffalo. My question, let me just shift this for a second. All right, what if he doesn't play?
They're going to lose.
Is it over? Categorically? He couldn't be Earl Morrow. He couldn't be Nick Foles.
In answer to your question, let me give you the answer. No.
Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna argue for a little less than an emphatic no. I'm going to say an emphatic maybe, because if Chad Henne plays, they haven't seen anything, they being the Buffalo Bills, to prepare for him. They got no idea how this guy plays. And so, you know, the element of surprise can sometimes be there. If they get Edwards-Helaire back, I don't know if there's a chance, and they've got Darrell Williams. They have people that they can hand the ball off to. They've got Tyreek Hill, who can outrun everybody. And so if Chad Henne can still throw the ball long, he's always got that thing, well, I'll throw it long and either he'll catch up with it or it'll be an incompletion. And all you got to do is hit one or two of those in a game and it's over. And he's got the one matchup that Buffalo cannot respond to. No teams really can. Travis Kelce. He doesn't fit the mold, all right? And believe me, Mike, when you've got a quarterback who you're throwing in there and it's like, please save our season, and we know you haven't played in forever, you cherish a tight end, because a tight end is the way that Kelce plays, we've watched this a million, I've watched 1,000 games by KC. He just roams around in between the zones, waiting for the quarterback to get in trouble or scramble, whatever, and then puts himself in the position, we're here, right here, here, right here, give it to me, and then turns around and picks up how many more yards before anybody can bring him down. He is your ultimate safety valve. And because of him,
he's not going to get that much time against the Bills. He's not Mahomes, okay? He moves around in the pocket. I know he had a great run the other day, Mitch. But the Bills are going to get after him in a way that they will not be able to get after Patrick Mahomes, because they've got to do a lot of stuff to keep Mahomes in the pocket. I don't think, you know, the idea that he's just going to hang in there and wait for Kelce to get open, I don't believe that was. I mean, I don't think we're going to. It's going to be relevant, because I think that Mahomes is going to play. Okay. But
let's say Mahomes gets injured in this game, you know, if he's shaky, you know, and or if he gets knocked down again, and then they say, okay, we can't take any more chances. I'm just saying that Andy Reid is a rare coach. He's a great offensive mind. He's got great, you know, ideas. And I believe that he is already scheming for this to happen, whether it is because Mahomes is going to, because he doesn't know himself, is going to start or not going to start, or maybe has to prepare for if he gets hurt. But I'm sure he's going to have a lot of plays drawn up for Chad Henne to get rid of the ball quickly. They do those quick screens. Any quarterback can throw one of those, Mike. Anybody. You know, where you just turn and you whip it over to the side and they set up the blocking thing and down the field they go. And you can get the ball to a tight end if you don't send him 20 yards downfield, you know, and let him pick it up. They're going to have plays for him to get rid of the ball quickly, because they're going to know he can't move around like Mahomes can. Does that mean that Buffalo's not going to get to him now and then? Of course they're going to get to him now and then. But it's not like they're just going to sit there and go, oh my God, Buffalo's faster rushing than Chad Henne is running, so and we didn't prepare for that. I'm sure that's what they've been doing all week.
We're talking about a guy that many sports fans didn't even know was still in the league.
I know.
I'm sorry. Are we talking about the same Chad Henne who hasn't gotten off the bench in, what, 10 years?
But we got a glimpse, you know, but we did get a glimpse last Sunday that he's not incapable of, you know, he's capable of doing something. No, I mean,
he made one terrific scramble and he threw a swing pass. Come on.
Right, but Mike, no one is saying they're a favored team with him at quarterback. I'm not. It would be a huge shock if Kansas City won, if he started the game. But I am saying that is a complete team, and there are a lot of other weapons there. And if you've got the offensive line that they have, and you can protect an average quarterback and draw up a game plan of simple, just get the ball to this guy and get the ball to this guy, and then let your defense try to, you know, keep you in the game, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they could win even with Chad Henne starting the game.
No,
that's all I'm saying.
I'm saying it's out of the realm of possibility.
Well, that's
this
all
is,
I'm saying.
This is sports. All I'm saying is that if we put the rosiest possible projections on Chad Henne, if he indeed has to be the starting quarterback, okay, the defending champs with him at quarterback were one snap away from probably not getting to this weekend a week ago. I give him all props. Bob's right. It was a great story. It would have been a great day to write Chad Henne last Sunday, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But if people are writing Chad Henne again this Sunday, the Chiefs aren't going back to the Super Bowl.
All right, we need to keep going, but first, a word from our good friends at Lucy. Hey, folks, have you ever been around someone trying to quit smoking? I have, and often they are a moody bunch. A lot of people have complained that there's just not a lot of nicotine alternatives around that taste any good, at least until they found Lucy. Lucy's nicotine gum and lozenges taste great, have 4 milligrams of nicotine in each, and can be discreetly enjoyed anywhere, at work, on flights, on the go, even in a mask. I have friends and family members who have been battling smoking forever, and they have tried every kind of thing, the patches, the other alternatives. This can make a huge difference in their lives. Try it yourself. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out the dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges, and start 2021 off right. Plus, since you're listening to our program, The Sports Reporters, you can save by going to lucy.co and use the promo code REPORTERS, and you'll get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code REPORTERS at the checkout. Also, I have to give you this disclaimer warning. This product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code REPORTERS. But we're all predicting, by the way, before we leave that game, so we're all predicting Kansas City to win that game no matter what?
No.
Or only if Mahomes is playing?
No, I said...
All right, make your prediction.
This is a pick'em.
Yes, if Mahomes plays, and no if he doesn't.
No,
is that
I
right,
think I think the Chiefs will win a close game if Patrick Mahomes plays, because it's all they've played this season. But I'm telling you, on Sunday... In the 6:40 game, they are facing the best team they have faced all year. They are facing the current iteration of the Buffalo Bills. They are facing the best opponent they have faced all year. And I think the Bills have a great chance on Sunday.
Oh, I do too. I'm much more confident about Green Bay. So I would the Green Bay winning and
yeah.
Buffalo
yeah.
winning. I might even go so far as to pick them to win. Regardless.
Okay.
They're good.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. Kansas City's better. I'm going to pick Kansas City.
Okay.
All right. Now let's move over to, before we get out of football, a brief homage to Philip Rivers, who I don't know which is more impressive to me. His career, which if you look at his numbers, despite the fact that he never won a Super Bowl, he's like fifth in total yards, fifth in touchdowns. You know, he was an 8-time Pro Bowler. He has made his mark in history. And I don't know if what impresses me more, those numbers and 63,000 yards and all that, or the fact that he's retiring because he can't wait to start coaching high school football in a tiny town in Alabama. He reminds me of Brett Favre, who, for all of the glory that was thrown at Brett Favre when he was an NFL quarterback and the star of the league for and the face of the league, you could argue, for a stretch of time, he wanted to get back to Mississippi. And Rivers, who has played out in Tinseltown and in the shadow of Tinseltown in San Diego for all those years, so many people thought he was a surfer, you know. They thought he was a Southern California kid. He's from Alabama, and he's going back to Alabama. He's already got the job at, St. Catharines or something like that, a Catholic school, and he's going to coach high school football. I'm just knocked out by that. I think that's fantastic.
He's the classic example of, you know, Roethlisberger went there Eli went there, and he went with the Chargers. Maybe Eli knew what he was doing when he didn't want to go play for the San Diego Chargers and force that draft day trade by Ernie Accorsi. Oh, no, 421 career touchdown passes just in the regular season. Mitch, 63,440 for yards, okay? Yep. And it's not like he was a tomato can in the playoffs either. He threw 16 touchdown passes in the playoffs in his career. But here's the thing, okay? I think I'm right about this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think he played 7 playoff games in his career. 7.
No, he's 5-7 in 12 playoff games.
12. I mean, no, he lost seven. Yeah, he lost 7 and he played 12. Yeah. Yeah.
He very well could have won, but for one great play made by Troy Brown. They were the better team that year, that day, San Diego. I was there, and Troy Brown steals the ball back after an interception to get the ball back to the Patriots to save the game entirely. He played well enough to win that game.
Didn't they upset the Peyton and the Colts one year? I think they did. I think they might have upset Peyton and the Colts one year.
One other thing in his, you know, we must say.
Yeah, they did. They did. That was 2007, I think. You're right. Go ahead.
The durability. He played every game from 06 to 2020 to this year, 242 straight, the second longest streak. He got to give him that. So the jackpot question, the one that everybody's going to be debating, yes or no, and you know what the question is. The Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Oh, my God.
Got to go in the Hall of Fame.
He
walks into the Hall of Fame.
As he walks in.
They could put him in
tomorrow. He walks into the Hall
of Fame. Are you kidding? No, he moonwalks into the Hall of Fame, Bob. It's not even mildly in dispute. There's a lot of quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame who aren't as good as Phillip Rivers.
Okay, I agree. I know it won't be, a unanimity of opinion, I don't think.
He had that chance, Mike, in the season that you mentioned, in 2007 season, went to playoffs in 2008. They won the first two games, and they went in to play New England, and they lost 21-12. And you wonder if somehow they had had that had gone differently. Patriots scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter.
Right.
If his career would have gone differently. Sometimes you win a Super Bowl early in your career and you just get a level of confidence that you can't get from doing anything else. And that was his best shot. Although there was that championship game that they played, AFC championship game where he had a ripped knee, remember? And he played through the whole thing despite that. He won the award for heroism, but not for the game. And that will always be, the tag on him is that, in the playoffs he got close but no cigar. But, there are other great quarterbacks in the history of the NFL who have that tag on them too. And what Bob just said should not be overlooked. When did you say he started in 2006 and didn't miss a start?
No, he started in 2004.
That's when his streak started. Roethlisberger and Eli started in 2004.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was the fourth pick of the draft, and Eli was one, and Roethlisberger was 11.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
Yeah,
but
he started in 2004.
Started in 2006.
The streak started in 2006.
That's incredible.
That Colts team that he beat in the 2007 season, in January of 2008,
right.
They were 13-3 that year. That was a big upset at the time. And it was one of his greatest days in pro football. Oh, no. He's the real deal. He just never quite got there. And it's... maybe he thought he could make one more run with the Colts. He played swell. He played swell for the Colts.
They wanted him back, Mike.
No. Frank Reich made it quite clear that he wanted him back. Yeah. And I think, I think Phil Rivers is making the right decision. He's not going to get carried off. And he had a hell of a year. He showed everybody he could still play. And I hope he has a happy football life coaching high school football.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful.
Hey, guys, Phil Rivers as the resident Raider fan here. Phil Rivers used to torment my Raiders, him and LaDainian Tomlinson. Phil Rivers has 9 kids. Also, one of the greatest trash talkers and never would swear, which I always found that fascinating.
Great trash talker. You're absolutely right, Tyler. And
He trash talked without swearing?
Yeah.
That was his thing. He never cussed.
Somebody should have recorded all that.
Never would swear, but he would just rip people and the greatest trash talker without swearing, and people would be so amazed by that.
Before we have a brief discussion about the National Basketball Association, a word from our friends at Paint Your Life. This year for Valentine's Day, I want you to try something I already have. It's different and it's personal, but it can be enjoyed for years to come. And that's paintyourlife.com. Paintyourlife.com can create a professional hand-painted portrait from any photo at a truly affordable price. I was able to order it in just a few minutes at the end of last year, upload my photos, and get the portrait in no time. And the result is hanging in my study, and it is spectacular. It's a photograph my wife took of our daughter looking out at a lake last summer, and it's just something that we will enjoy for years to come. My wife loves it. My daughter loves it. We're all blown away by the quality and the way they put everything together from different photos. At PaintYourLife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money's refunded. Guaranteed. And right now is a limited time offer. Get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word reporters to 64,000. That's reporters to 64,000. Text reporters to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter the most. And by the way, terms apply, and they're available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Again, text reporters to 64,000. There was a really fun game last night as Kyrie and Harden and Durant were on the field on the court for the same time. And Harden, to his credit, sublimated his game. He got a triple-double while Durant and Kyrie hoisted up about 400 shots. And they end up losing in double overtime because the best offensive player on the court in the end is Colin Sexton of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who, by the way, don't stink and are fun to watch.
To be specific, Michael, Durant took 25 shots, Irving took 28, and Harden took 14 and had 12 assists. And as a resident Harden critic, I am mute this morning in that regard. I will salute him for... No, this is very interesting. Now, it's one game. This is a snapshot. But what a fascinating way for them to get this thing
lab
off
experiment.
And running.
No, it's a lab experiment. And
oh,
Bob,
my God.
They cover no one. They cover no one.
That was my first thought when I saw 147 points.
Well, but it was two overtimes, Mitch. You have to factor that in.
Yeah, I know.
But they shouldn't have. They let Sexton, when they knew he was going to take a shot, they let him make a three to tie the game, and on they played.
Yeah, it was 113 all when they first went to overtime or somewhere around there. You know, it's not like it was a defensive battle to begin with. It wasn't 90-89.
Well,
but listen, I've said it up till now. I'm not going to hide it. I am rooting against the Brooklyn Nets because of the way that they've come together and because of the personalities. I just nothing personal against those guys, but the way that they engineered their getting there and then the way that they have acted individually at different times. Kyrie Irving now is, you got to explain this to me, Bob.
Yes.
This guy is just out for, what was it, seven games in an abbreviated season for some kind of combination of quote-unquote personal reasons and COVID reasons that I still don't get an answer to. Did he have COVID? Did he violate the protocol? Was he being punished?
Yeah, he violated protocol, and he got fined a hefty amount of money, $50,000, plus the suspension cost him $900,000 of his believe it or not, of his salary.
Yeah, but not all seven games were for
I understand. He's always worthy of, hours of discussion. In his little dissertation the other day, in which was classically, half in decipherable.
Did he mention the Flat Earth Society?
No. He made an allusion that gave me pause and it's going to have me put a little hold on some of my declarations on him. He brought up the subject of mental health. And as soon as you do that, I'm going to back off and to a degree. I want to respect anybody. We've had enough examples in the NBA in recent years of guys willing to come forward about this, and I think it's the most understated issue in all of sport and pro sport. So he made an allusion to mental health, and if you know, so we got to give him some space, I guess. I've been saying that he doesn't. He's searching for something and doesn't know what it is. He's not as smart as he thinks he is. I think both of those things are true. But then again, when you factor in if there's actually a possibility of depression, if there's possible, oh boy, you know, now we're getting into a very, very dangerous territory.
But he also referenced the assault on the Capitol, Bob, and you know what. We were all upset about it too.
Grow
and
up.
We managed to go,
we all
go
went
to work
okay. the next day.
Okay. And all right, my ire, and it's not just James Harden. It is the culture that we've talked about in the NBA, okay? Because what we saw with James Harden, and I don't care if he has 60 triple doubles, okay? Owners are defenseless against what he did. They are absolutely defenseless. They're defenseless against Anthony Davis, who a very nice young man as well, okay? But if you're going to force your way out of town, even making whatever he's making, $40 million a year, okay? There's nothing they can do at the end. It's a shakedown to get what they want, okay?
Right.
And here's my question, Mitch. All right. And I'm not saying this will happen. I wrote about this last Sunday, okay? Because I still think this thing is doomed to fail. I could be dead wrong about this. I don't care whether it does or not. That's not important. I'm talking about the behavior that he exhibited, okay? And going to clubs and maskless and being out of shape and bad-mouthing his team. Say some day down the road, a great kid like Luka Doncic decides he doesn't want to play basketball for Mark Cuban anymore, even though Cuban's one of the great and most generous owners in sports. Cuban will not be any better, tougher, stronger than the guy is in Fertitta, I think his name is, in Houston. He will be defenseless against this behavior, and the next owner will be defenseless. And I don't know what Adam Silver can do to stop this, but I hope there's a way because I'll die on this hill. This is not good for business, even if the Nets get good now.
Right. Well, I have a response to that before I give it a final word from our good friends at Geico. Hey, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Okay, my response to what you said, a very intelligent point, I believe, is that the factor that the players would argue, well, we are the game. So why shouldn't we be able to move where we want to move? And they paint owners as greedy, money-making, making the money off of our backs, all the rest of it. Even though if somebody doesn't put the organization together, right. You don't have a place to play. All right? There seems to be no respect for that, no respect for what it takes to buy a franchise, run a franchise, operate a franchise when it doesn't have superstars, deal with fans, build buildings, all the rest of it. These guys act, and I don't blame them. Since the time they were 10 years old, they've been coddled, and they've been told, just keep dribbling and keep shooting. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to do school. You don't have to worry about that. We'll take care of that. You get in trouble, somebody will take care of the trouble for you. You'll have millions of dollars by the time you're 19 years old. College, don't worry about going to class. You're just there for one semester, and then move on. All the blockades have been moved out of their way. So why, when they get to the NBA at 20 and are making more money than the next 1,000 Americans combined, should they start to think about things like what it takes to run a franchise, own a franchise, operate a franchise? The owners, the operators, the teams, the fans are all considered secondary to the talent that they bring to the game, and therefore they rule it. And you are right. It is bad for business because the one equation that they don't understand is ultimately if fans turn you off, you don't get paid. And if you take it to the end game, there is no league if fans turn you off. You don't have a natural born right to play on any basketball team that you want to play on and continue to get paid. Those teams exist because fans support them. And if you look at the ratings for the NBA Finals, granted, it was in a different time and all the rest of it, but They were shockingly low. Shockingly low. And if that kind of stuff continues, there'll be a price to pay. Now, they won't feel it, because what's the difference between making $40 million and $30 million? You can't spend it anyhow. But it comes from that same mentality, Mike, that all that matters is talent. And if you've got talent, you can run the game. You should be the general manager. You should be the coach. You should be the owner. You should determine where you want to go. And so if you tried to have this argument with James Harden or anybody who's done what James Harden has done, they would look at you like you were speaking a different language. And they would basically come back to, don't you understand? I'm the talent. I'm the talent.
Oh,
there's
know,
no movie
Mitch.
Without the movie star.
Yeah,
that's the way they look at it.
You're 100% right. I just, before we close the books on this, and he, you know, Harden is doing all kinds of damage control. I'm just a hooper. I just want to win. Okay, in the future, how about we come up with this in the CBA? How about we come? I don't want to play for this team anymore. You must trade me. And the team can say, okay, then your contract is now null and void, and see if you can get as good a deal when you go to your next team.
Right, right. Yeah, because they made the deal, they made the money, and they set it all up. So then, and so I'm just taking my money with me. I'm going someplace else. I'm taking my money with me. Right. Give me the suitcase. That's an interesting point. Yeah,
but
the contract becomes null and void.
I'll ask this to Bob, and then we'll get to parting shot. Bob, okay, what is to prevent the next James Harden from doing exactly the same thing?
Oh, I guess not. Just a sheer force of will. I mean, with personality difference, perhaps. Guys, I got to point out one thing, and just leave it with this. It is not without precedent. In 1975, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar forced his way out of a city he did not like and got himself out to Los Angeles, and that was the exact same thing.
How did he do it?
He just did it.
Did he do it by whatever the 1975 equivalent of partying without a mask on at a
COVID thing, or not
showing up for games or anything
maybe
like
he
that?
Threatened
or did he just expressed that he would like to be traded?
Maybe he threatened to quit. Maybe he didn't. I don't know what, but he did it. And he got himself out. And Wilt did the same thing, getting himself away from the Warriors to the back of the 76ers in 1965. 65, I said, not 75, 65. There is precedent in under this umbrella. So right. Now it's more rampant now, but I'm just saying.
Certainly more rampant. And it might not have been right then either, but anyhow. All right, interesting discussion. Time for our parting shots, which are brought to you by Paint Your Life. PaintYourLife.com can create a professional hand-painted portrait from any photo at a truly affordable price. And right now, as a limited-time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, you got to text the word REPORTERS to 64,000. That's REPORTERS to 64,000. Text REPORTERS to 64,000. Time for our parting shots. And Bob Ryan, lead us off.
Now, parting shots.
If indeed we are going to have a 2021 men's Final Four, and I'm not saying we should even be playing college basketball, then for once, someone in power to make important sports decisions has made the absolutely perfectly correct choice for its locale. Central Casting has presented them with the ideal spot, a little hunk of Midwestern real estate they call Indiana. Culturally and physically, it is number one for basketball, and everything else is tied for second place. You've got many good college arenas. You've even got humongous high school gyms. Lucas Oil is a suitable spot for the Final Four. The downtown logistics for Indianapolis are the best in America. I am something of a Final Four connoisseur with 32 notches on my belt, and I can tell you it wouldn't be a bad idea to make Indianapolis the permanent Final Four site. Hey, NCAA, you got this one 1,000% correct.
It's amazing in sports how frequently we work our way back to William Goldman's great line about Hollywood in his classic book, Adventures in the Screen Trade. Nobody knows anything. Now, he was talking about the people who get movies made out there. But he could have been talking about sports owners every time a bad team makes what it is certain is a good hire. And I'm thinking today about Mitch's team, the Lions, who don't just hire a new coach in Dan Campbell. Mitch, no. They give him a 6-year contract. Why, Mitch? Because not going above 5 would have been a deal breaker for Mr. Campbell? Yeah. Maybe Campbell will do what Matt LaFleur has done in Green Bay. Or maybe he'll turn out to be Matt Patricia, whom the Lions just fired. Quote, Dan knows what it takes to be successful, owner Sheila Ford Hamp says of Campbell. All due respect, but she doesn't know. None of them do.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Mike. Coronavirus has brought us many unexpected things in sports, and now we have another. The hug police. That's right, the NBA has noticed that players are not respecting the rules of unnecessary contact on game nights, such as hugging or high-fiving opposing players, so they are moving team security to the mid-court area to, quote, dissuade violations. Wow. Suddenly, the NBA is prom night in 1953, where the principal wags an uh-uh finger for couples dancing too close. This is crazy. Of course, it wouldn't be necessary if players took any rule besides double dribbling seriously. Strip clubs, parties, videos with maskless friends, all that doesn't give Commissioner Adam Silver much confidence. But it does seem weird that if you can defend, drive the lane, and bang for rebounds against guys, that a hug is somehow going to put you in more COVID danger. Then again, since when has anything with the response to this disease made sense? That's going to wrap things up for today's program. We do Sports Reporters Podcast Mondays and Thursdays, so we'll be back after a big weekend of football to set up the Super Bowl, and that'll be fun. If you like what you heard, leave us a comment. Leave us a rating. We always appreciate both, and you can tell your friends who always enjoy the Sports Reporters TV show on Sunday mornings that you can find us on Stitcher, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, any place you get popular podcasts. Until we see you again on Monday, on behalf of Bob Ryan and Mike Lupica, this is Mitch Albom saying, have a great weekend.